Welcome to the Best Self Podcast. Today we've got Chris Duffin with us today. You can't see the bulk of his body, but he looks like Hercules, and he's got all kinds of, he's called the Mad Scientist, extraordinary thinker, unconventional thinker, and best-selling author, multiple companies. Buddy, you've got a lot going on. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, looking forward to some good conversation, my man.
Yeah, I'm jacked, and it's not just because of your great hair. I mean, the hair is definitely killing it right now.
I comb my hair for you, so that you're special. So,
so there are a ton of great points. You do have a great story. We'll get to that. One of the things that struck a chord with me is you had talked about what it means to have a good life. I'd read or I'd heard you have a passion for furthering your life. You have a passion for furthering other people's lives. I was curious, what would you say is a good life? What goes into that?
Well, that's tough to define. And a lot of people want to push things at you. And it's, you know, especially like in business and entrepreneurship, like they got all these people telling you, oh, if you want the fancy car, if you want them, you know, feel fine, go get it and be your, you know, and I'm like, that's fine. But a good life is really understanding why you want the things that you want. Cause there, you get to this point, it's not things, it's a way of living. It is this, North Star is a common term that's used. And I think it really identifies it. It's a path that you can always be moving towards, taking another step in that direction, but you can never actually get there. So it's really understanding, why do you want the things that you want? If you create your bucket list, I hate bucket lists, by the way, if you create your bucket list, why are you choosing these things? If you want to be an NFL player, why is it you want to do this stuff? And if you keep like just diving and peeling back these layers, and it takes a lot of introspection, a lot of time, you know, you get to an answer and then the process starts again. And finally you'll get to these nuggets, these gems that are things like recognition,
right?
A sense of accomplishment or challenge, continual learning, creative outlet, a sense of family, community. These are how you actually need to, the framework of how you build your life and your goals, your business, and all this is to a way for you to realize these things. It is not the thing. It's a way for you to create a life that executes the being a living. And I didn't randomly list, you know, those happen to be some of mine.
Right.
You know, another one is, I'll admit, security. I had a really crazy, you know, life growing up, and being able to have this sense of security for myself, my family is huge. All right. It works in counter to me wanting to challenge myself and take on crazy things. Right.
Right.
And take the ego out, like recognition. Yeah. You know, that for me, if I do something good that I'm proud of, I'd like to be recognized for that by people that I care about. And so that's really your North Star. If you dig deep enough, you'll find probably 6, 7, maybe 8 of these things. And I don't know what you call them. I just use the term core values.
Yep.
That term gets used a whole lot, but I really don't know what else to call them. They're not necessarily values, but they're a way of being, this thing that you want. And if you don't understand it, this sense of security. Okay. If I don't understand that, and I look at, you know, I watch the hustle porn and go, you want your mansion, you want your car. And I'm like, God, yeah, I want that stuff. But I don't understand that I want that stuff, because I know if I've achieved it, I have created a life that creates a lot of security for myself and my family. And if I don't know that, I could over leverage myself to get those things, because all I know is I want those things.
Right.
And I've done the exact opposite.
Right.
So no morality, no on the things that you want, the way you want to live, not, but like do the work and really understand that's what a great life is. And when you get that, man, then all the things start coming together. Every aspect you can create, your business, your personal life, you just start cutting out all the fluff and you can start really excelling and doing so much more because you're not wasting your time.
Oh, that is strong. That is a strong answer. So one, it sounds like you're more into looking for a lifestyle. All right. I mean, you're searching for a lifestyle with all that stuff you're describing. And it sounds like you're about the why.
Exactly. It's about the why. Yeah. And I really think that a lot of people they may think that they're doing the work. And it really takes a lot of depth to get there.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of people think that they know what work is until they get into it. And then they figure out that what they thought was the work isn't actually the work that they thought it was.
Yeah. Well, it is a never ending process too. Yeah. Like we all always changing slightly like that. It's always a process of discovery. It's a never ending process, but this isn't a Sunday afternoon or something that I'm going to accomplish in December before the first of the year rolls around. So I can make some goals around it type of thing.
Yeah. No, I don't think the best leaders, the best people, what they do, I don't think they've ever really felt like they've become. They're always becoming, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So resistance training, I know most would think of physical stuff. I'm curious, do you think it's more important to have resistance training between the ears or physically?
No. So... I just say no, because there's no more important at all, okay. Right? I was listening to a story the other day. It was pretty interesting. It was about trees being planted in the biosphere. And they would grow, and then they'd hit a certain height, right? Mm-hmm. And they just start falling over. And the scientists are like, what is going on? And kept going, different trees, different soils, couldn't figure out what's happening, what's different. Right. And the difference was there was no wind. There was no challenge. There was no stress. There was no conflict.
That's
right?
A great story.
And it tells the trees to build tougher bark, to get this root network built and secured into the ground. And it created resilience. And resilience is strength. And I use the word resilience so much more because we don't know what's going to come at us in the future. But if we don't, it ends up leading towards what? The tree grows, falls over, and dies.
Right.
If you go into the gym and you curl some weights over time, that stress, what does it do? Your arm gets stronger. It gets more resilient. If you break your arm and put it in a cast, what happens?
Right,
the process of atrophy, the movement towards death and decay starts. So I'm not overspeaking this stuff. I'm really trying to elicit this is huge, not human physiology, but as a whole across every aspect. Okay. And this is physical, mental, and emotional. And one could even argue spiritual, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if we don't have stress or challenge in those areas of our life, and we will become weak. We will become less resilient. And it doesn't matter. I did the work a long time ago. It has to be now. Right. It has to always be now. And it is so relevant in so many levels that I can't overspeak this term.
Yeah.
I find people all the time. I don't like conflict. So they try to create, no conflict in their life. And I want to work on I've got a great business. I'm just going to be conflict free. It's going to, well, guess what? Conflict's going to come at you and you're not going to know how to handle it.
Right.
And so you need to find these things in your life. So what I'm saying is not only do you need to like embrace it when it comes, but if it's not coming, you need to seek it out.
Yes.
So this is between the ears. Absolutely. It's just important. My businesses are all focused on this physical aspect of it. That's where my training is. That's what my expertise, all this, but it's an understanding that it covers everything.
Right. Yeah. No, that's really good. Yeah. You want to embrace friction. Friction's not optional, right? It's a prerequisite.
Yeah. Now there's a point of too much, right?
Sure.
So just like if we go to the gym, if we do daily doubles, 3 hours per session, 7 days a week, you're going to not recover.
Right.
This is concentration camp type stuff. Like there's a point of so much stress that we can't recover from it. So I'm not saying go beat your ass into the ground, right?
Right.
You've got to give your space self time and space. But if we stop all the time, if we spend our life on the beach in the Caribbean, you know, this life, I've done all this work to try to get to this point so I can retire and walk away from it all. You've just walked away from life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have just started this path towards nothing. And that's the point I'm trying to make. You've got to have Great. Some training at all times.
Yes. I love that. That is awesome. Yeah. I was reading, I think his name, I wrote it down, Nathaniel Hancock. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that does.
He wrote an article and he talked about the eight. I'm a big between the ears guy. And I was reading an article and he had talked about the eight flaws of the weight room. And he listed eight things and not one of them was physical. All eight of them was basically between the ears, whether it be anxiety or lack of confidence or empathy. I think even empathy was in there somewhere. I don't remember all eight, but I just thought it was real interesting that everyone thinks that it's all physical, but it's not.
It's not at all.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
if you're interested in self-improvement, you need to be chasing this in all aspects of your life. It's a trifecta. You can't have one without the other. I mean, right. You go back to the Socratic method, you know, this is nothing new.
Right. And wow, that's cool. So how would you say that if you were talking to me or talking to someone else? And I like what you said, by the way. I like that you said this is cross-curricular. Like we could be talking about a dude in a cubicle. We could be talking about a dude like you, which there really aren't any. I mean, you're squatting and 1,000-pound reps. There's arguably the strongest man in the world right on the screen right now. How can people best prime their brain for growth?
It is this willingness to step into a place of fear, to know that when your gut is twisting up on you, that it could be a conversation with your spouse, your boss, a coworker. I'm using that instead of a training session, right? Sure. It could be this, I want to go back to school, but I'm afraid of, you know, it could, right. I want to start a bit, whatever it is, but yeah. You've got this anxiety, this twist in your gut, this mixture of excitement, but fear, that is your signal that's the direction that you're going to go. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily be successful down that path. So don't take my word. And that's okay. But right. We've got to be willingness to step into an area that we're afraid of, whether we have the capability of being successful at coming out the other side. And you must stay in this practice of living in fear. Yeah. And so, you know, I learned these lessons really early on, like, you know, six, I think this is in the first chapter of my book, 6 years old, you know, I'm living in the mountains. We've got beams strapped up into the trees because the rattlesnakes are running around, and I'm 6 years old and I'm being taught how to capture and handle live rattlesnakes. All right. And I'm sitting there and I've got this rattlesnake wrapped around my hand and I'm holding it just in the right spot, right at the back of the head that I can control its jaw opening and closing. And it's sitting there staring at me with those beady eyes.
Yeah.
In it, those slits. And the only thing in that snake's mind is to kill you. Right.
Right.
And you're afraid, but you've got to know I have to learn how to control this fear. I can't let it overcome me, but I must also respect it. Because if you don't respect it, you're dead as well. Either path, you're dead. And so we've got to get comfortable with fear and being able to walk into this, because we never, any random Thursday, something's going to come out of somewhere. Life is going to hit you and you're not going to be prepared. You're not going to know how, and you've got to be okay with that. And you need to be to practice that. So I call it the gut check.
Yeah.
Like the gut check, when you get that going on, that's your signal. I don't want to go there. but that is exactly where I need to go. That's a difficult conversation, the conflict piece. That's a, what it, like, I need to dive in. This is my opportunity for growth. Yeah. Regardless of what the outcome is, this is what it is. This is my workout for the day.
Dude, I love it. I love it. Have those conversations all the time. Discipline isn't something done to you. It's something for you. And let's stick with your story. You know, 6 years old, having to capture rattlesnakes, wrapping them around your forearm. And can you kind of give us a little insight as to where it all started for you?
Yeah, I grew up homeless in the wilderness for the most part. So my parents were unconventional, just kind of like I am. Very, very intelligent. You could argue hyper intelligent, but didn't fit in with society, didn't want to be a part of it, and chose this life. I was in Northern California. And so I grew up, you know, learning how to forage for food and kill animals and living in tents. And when you're living on this part of society, there's a lot of unsavory characters. So there's a lot of, you know, this is covered in my book, but a lot of, you know, bad shit that happens. You know, I dealt with murderers. I dealt with drug running, drug abuse, human trafficking, all sorts of really nasty stuff. And I ended up in the care of the state for the while, as well as my siblings. Parents got us back, and we ended up in Eastern Oregon and kind of fell right back into the same thing fairly quickly, except in California, they were growing weed for a living, which in the 70s and 80s was not legal by any means. And if you're not familiar with that area, that means there was people with machine guns running around the woods. And like, it was kind of scary stuff.
Yeah.
But they went straight after losing us kids, but ended kind of back in the same area, just kind of mining and other stuff. And I ended up putting myself through college, and during the course of doing so, I also ended up taking custody of my three younger siblings, my sisters, and I raised them through all their teenage years while I was working on my dual engineering degree, my MBA, chasing my career, doing all this stuff, because things got even worse at home as soon as I left. For some reason, I had some sort of like stabilizing force. And I moved, I ramped up in the business world, became a, you know, an executive. I was turning around aerospace and automotive manufacturing companies, growing companies from a regional to national to international presence, that sort of stuff. I had a family, and then that's the first half of the book.
Wow, man.
I've covered a lot of what I find interesting. It's I've had a scope of life a lot of people haven't seen. I decided, I'm sitting there, I'm living in a house with a white picket fence. I'm got a great career, making lots of money. There's things about it that are very rewarding to me, the leadership side and things like that. But I was unhappy. And why am I unhappy? And so this is the second half of the book. Is first half is the eagle, this story of finding your strengths, your capabilities in this world. And every chapter covers, you know, the learnings and things, not telling you how to live, but asking you the questions so you can find your own, right?
Yeah.
The second half of the book is this process of purposeful reinvention. It's the dragon, the Ouroboros, the continual reinvention of oneself, but it is specifically deciding who do you want to be in this world and becoming that person.
That is
so. I lifted a lot of weights over the course of this too. So I was like, at this point, so 2015, I'm ranked number one in the world for like 8 years straight as a competitive power lifter. I've got this great career. I owned a gym on the side because I was needed to have a great place to train. And I decided to walk away from everything in my life. I quit my career. I quit competitive lifting. And I wanted passion in every aspect of my life. And I ended up leaving my marriage as well. Founded Kabuki Strength and then a couple other companies. I brought and drew just this amazing people into my life, so that my work became like just this huge synergy. And one of those people that I brought into my life is now my wife. And I have an amazing, amazing marriage, three kids. And really, I am helping people in the world live better, to get out of pain and live a better quality of life. So I've designed, what we call this biomechanically sound barbell line, along with other equipment that gets joints in a better position and accommodates for variability and levers, mobility, all this sort of stuff. We work with, well, let's take Major League Baseball. There's two teams that we don't work with. So not, when I say 90% of all professional sports teams in North America, that's what I mean when I say any major college that you can think of, and six, they all use our stuff, plus 600 plus more movie stars, you know, like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, Thor, like many, many others. Incredible. They all use our stuff. So I built this globally recognized brand in about five years.
That's incredible.
And that is having this huge impact. We have probably the leading scientific advisory board. A lot of my stuff is built off of, before starting the business, I was like lecturing at the PhD level on biomechanics. I kind of transitioned from my engineering into over the years, because I was a performance athlete and wanted to be the best that I could. Right. I needed to figure things out, and created these principles around loading and movement. And then that ended up developing the equipment. And we also do education and coaching and all that sort of stuff. But that's why we have this huge backing. So, right. I mean, we have the leading people in the world on spine biomechanics, developmental kinesiology, chiropractic, orthopedic surgeons, the best, some of the top head strength coaches for the biggest teams out there. They're the people that back us.
Your juice really is adding value to others. I mean, you've been doing that your entire life. You started that when you're young, taking care of your siblings, and that's always been you.
It's been a part of me, but I felt I could do so much more. Yeah. And that's when I made those major changes, which was scary. Like I had a great, secure career, and I
dropped it,
sold my homes, lost all my 401k, leveraged myself up to the hilt so that if I failed, I would be living in an apartment, even if the rest of my life, even if I went back to my old career, paying it off.
Yeah.
I put everything out there, everything on the line.
All in.
Went years without, being able to pay myself. But I wouldn't have, I'm doing what I'm meant to do.
Right.
In this world.
Would your hair be what it is today had you not made these moves? That's the real question.
Well, that's the reason it's never combed. And I've got too much.
You want your hair to be ascending up, not just your career.
That's right.
So you're bringing in these extraordinary people. How do you recruit extraordinary people?
You put yourself out there. You put out what you stand for, what you're trying to accomplish, and you're going to get people that are attracted to that same mission. Like, it sounds so cheesy because so many companies have a mission and vision statement, blah, 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 but they don't live them. They don't breathe them. People can't watch their content, read their stuff, and know that this is embodied by this organization. And we don't recruit people. People come to us.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You create this magnet of people that want to be a part of that, and they're drawn to it. Right. Mm-hmm. And, I hate all the people that down talk like millennials and all this other stuff too. Cause they connect with doing something my whole leadership team, what my company's built off of is people. And it's the best working. I have a lot of leadership, a lot of business experience, and this is the best team I've ever had worked with in my life.
Oh, man, when you can roll out of bed and love the people you work with, now we're going places.
Now we got alignment. Now we start pulling, you talk about those values, you get so much more because you're not, you're not going elsewhere and doing these other things to try to get these other needs met in your life. It all comes together, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm just my stomach's clenched just listening. You talked about that. Passionate. You can't be great unless you're passionate. You can't be driven unless you're around extraordinary people. In my opinion, you gotta be surrounded by extraordinary people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Do you think you can coach effort? Is effort something that can be coached?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer. All I can do is try to provide the inspiration. And I definitely have seen massive changes in some people. I've got those actual stories in my book that, people that were not great, stellar employees ended up coming back and finding me later and saying, thank you for letting me go. Thank you for doing, like, sure. I have something to prove to you, but it is not the norm.
Right.
It's not the norm.
I would say more often than not, it's probably not a sustainable plan if you're a person that has to constantly be coached with effort. Roll out of bed. You're never rolling out of bed to be mediocre. You're passionate. You don't have to be coached to work up you don't have to be coached up to work. What would you say is the,
I hire behaviors and not skills.
I love that. I always tell people that, you know, people ask me, well, how do you motivate? And I always tell them I don't. And then they're looking at me and I said, I hire motivated.
Yep.
I'm not looking to, nobody's looking to.
Maybe you can have that impact on 1 or 2 out of 100, sure. But it's just, that's definitely not worth the time, right? It really comes down to finding the right people.
Right. With. Yeah. I had another guy tell me years ago that, and it's always stuck with me. I'd rather have a jackass that I have to tame than a mule that I have to kick around. And, you know, so I've always, it's so true. I mean, I'd much rather have a dude that maybe he's a pain in my butt, but I would much rather have to pump the brakes than teach someone to step on the gas in life.
Absolutely.
What do you think, what is the most saturated excuse you hear? You know what I mean? There's a lot of them. What's the one that, you know, they couldn't follow through with their goal, they couldn't follow through with their workout, or they can't come in today, or whatever. What's the most saturated excuse you've heard?
Man, I don't know if it's the excuse, it's the framing of it to start with. It's the, you don't understand what it's like. Yep. And that's usually from somebody that doesn't know my background and sets of experience. And I'm like, well, let me tell you something. Well, you don't know what it's like to also have, you know, a family of this and that. Like, I get all that. It comes down to understanding truly what your priorities are, and are they a priority?
Yeah, totally.
People will not admit. They want to say that they want to do this, they want to do that. And if you're not making the steps, it's not a priority to you.
Right. Well, dude, we have like 5 minutes left, and then I am, as promised, crushing you to the curb. Thousands.
Okay.
Was there one person, I know, I mean, you've had so many different stories. I mean, just from where you started to early marriage, incredible marriage now, incredible kids, incredible people you're with right now. Was there one person that was pivotal for you? Was there one person that inspired you to change, or not to change, but for change, like inspired you for change?
I get asked this question a lot, and I've really thought through, and I think that's one of the unique things is I don't have anybody that really stands out. And, you know, think back to my life, I didn't have a lot of connection. Like, people are like, who'd you look up to, you know, in sports? And I'm like, I didn't have a TV. I didn't have radio. I had books. Right. I did have a wrestling coach in college that really taught me discipline, and follow through on the small things. He works for Kabuki now. I have a mentor in the clinical side that really steered me away from, because as I was considering change, steered me away from going back to school to be a doctor, because you know, that it was really about ego, just wanting those letters behind my name, because I didn't really actually need the education, because I actually know all the people that, not all, but you know, all the many of the people that actually write the books that are used in the schools, right. and I wanted to have a bigger impact, and that requires right. teaching and not necessarily doing hands-on where you actually need to be certified. He works here now as well. You know, those are a couple people there. I think maybe it's from the books, maybe where it's wherever, but I've always been drawn to chasing and living life through the extremes, having chaos, having, you know, I did find a time away from that when I started my family and was chasing my professional career. Mm-hmm. I wanted to prove to the world that I could just be normal and successful. And I did that, but it was like stabbing myself in the eye every yeah. day, just yeah. like, oh my God, I can't take this.
With a spoon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's this, and I'd like to touch on that really fast, this yeah. Chasing life through extremes, because it ties back to what I was talking about, is about, are things a priority for you? So many people try to find like balance through moderation. But I say it's the antithesis of that. It's actually taking these things that you think are diametrically opposed and chasing both ends of that. And you're going to find some beauty in the middle. You're going to be able to take both of them to a higher level. A lot of times I talk about this with lifting, like a squat, like technique and form are everything. Yeah. Perfect that. But I'm not saying don't load the bar, because you actually don't find when you break down what change needs to happen until you start loading this. So I also say, I want you to push it to the absolute limits, every last ounce of effort that you've got, and then a few grams more. And people think, well, that means form to the wind. Well, if you chase those two things, you end up with this beautiful thing in the center, which is actually far more powerful. Work-life balance. Same thing. I've kind of demonstrated that with my own life. I was working a corporate executive career, barely had time for my kids. I was training, I was doing all this stuff. And now I work harder than I've ever worked before, but I have probably five more hours per day with my family than I had before, because of the amount of time and space that I can create where my training falls, where my friendships fall, where all my, like how I work, like every, and so I challenge people to chase these things. And the benefit of this is the priorities, because if you chase extremes, what you're going to find is the things that truly aren't important start falling by the wayside, because there is nothing else. And that really is a way of helping you reach and understand what those values are that we talked about earlier.
Yeah,
it is a part of the exploration process. So I'm a big believer in find your balance through the extremes. And it really does, man, it creates an action book life at the same time. Who would not want to go that direction?
Right. Yeah. Wow. Create space, create happiness, create freedom. Incredible. I mean, that whole concept, chasing extremes, and I'm sitting here listening to you think, and it is so true. I can think of so many different examples where you may start to break down in your mechanics of whatever, in the lift or the life or whatever, but you're starting to expose yourself.
But now you expose it. Now you know, like, yes.
Right. You see your deficiencies, and now you become stronger because you exposed yourself.
And you become more resilient, strength. Yes. Exactly. So all this stuff that we've talked about starts pulling together when you've got this, that philosophy.
So good, man. True or false. Have you ever watched Aquaman?
I have not.
That hurts my true or false question. look up Jason Momoa. I was going to say true or false. Were you, our listeners, if you know who Jason Momoa is, he's an Aquaman. He's a DC Comics character. He's been in movies. I was going to ask if he was reincarnated trying to look like you. He's also yoked. He's got some of the same tats you've got type deal. So,
okay.
All right. Okay. That one hurts a little. That stings a little bit. All right. True or false? You were a buffalo in your previous life.
I have not heard that one before.
I've seen you run. I saw a video of you running from about a month ago, and I swear to God, I felt the room shaking today still. Mode. It looked like Quadzilla was coming directly at me in my screen.
That video really seems to catch people. They don't expect somebody my size to move that way.
Yeah. And you were kind of uphill a little bit. Like, I think it was.
Oh, that's very steep. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You weren't messing around. I don't recall seeing your hair in that one, but if I could find Aquaman, a buffalo, and something managed to still keep your hair, I think we'd be getting places. I think you might have a chance. Well, hey, buddy, we're drawing to close. Could you give us, our listeners, you got 30 to 45 seconds to talk to our listeners about how can they out-improve their previous best self? How do they out-improve their previous best self? 30 to 45 seconds.
How to out improve your previous best self.
So you got your best self. I'm trying to be better than I was yesterday. I'm trying to be better than I was 10 minutes ago or mm-hmm. whatever. How do I go about doing that? Like, my previous best self, it was cool. I was good, but I want to be better than that. I want to out improve that guy.
It is pushing yourself to take on that extra 5 pounds, that extra 10 pounds, right? So it's that workout mentality. The only way that you're going to get better is taking on a little bit more resistance, right? That is the physiology of things, via the extra challenge that you're scared of at work, in life, in your relationship. But you're not going to just get better on itself. Human beings adapt. They adapt to the loads imposed on them. And so this is the strength training concept. That's why I threw in the pounds.
Yeah.
But that is physiology as a whole. So if you want to be better, you need to have more challenge, more conflict, more weight.
That is fantastic, man. I loved this conversation. You do have a lot of great nuggets. I hope you do get a movie out there because it's a great story. And there's so many incredible lessons on your success road is super unique. It in itself is really extraordinary. And I love it. And you do a great job. You were a great listen, and you're a great, this was a great conversation, but thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Anybody that enjoyed this conversation, actually read my own book as well. The Eagle and the Dragon. You'll get a bunch from it. You can find a free link on my website, chrisduffin.com, and see other businesses and things that I do. Check out, follow me on social media. I'm pretty easy. I'm not going to list any of the stuff. Just type in my name in Google or on your favorite platform. I'll pop up.
He will. You're fantastic, buddy. Thanks again, and make it a great day.